This is the Tall Guy.
Big Lou Podcast.
We're here with very special friend Sarah Haight.
Oh, yeah.
Even though she doesn't celebrate Christmas like I usually don't because we're Jehovah's. But it's Christmas time. We're watching a movie. We're actually, let me turn the movie down a little bit so we don't get copyright strike like we do on my YouTube. I actually had to cut like 6 minutes out of three videos.
They won't take it off. They just won't be able to make money.
Yeah.
No, they made me cut. They made me cut the scenes where they could hear. And it's not that they could see me watching American Horror. It's that they could fucking hear American Horror. Like the times I go tape, because I don't give a fuck.
You actually got an email about that?
No, I got two emails, and then they're like, if you want to put these back on, you have to take like several minutes out of each one.
Wow.
And how long were they?
Like,
two hours.
No, they're only 40 something minutes long. But it's like every time I would go outside and take Bella out. To where they could hear the TV through the computer.
Yeah.
That's like, I'm begging for money now, so it's all good. I'm like, oh, Sam, I need a microphone and all this shit. You know, I need a fucking good fucking camera and shit, you know?
What you do is you just add a Venmo tag on the bottom.
Oh, I got it. I got it. It's already on there. Everybody knows my Venmo anyways.
Get your Patreon.
I started a Patreon, but I don't want to beg. I just fucking rather talk some shit and beg at the start of my video, and that's it. You know what I mean?
He likes to do it once a day. He can't go past begging once
once
a day.
Yeah.
He feels compromised.
I get it.
His gangster Creed 101.
Yeah, so in the background, actually, we're going to be watching Trading Places. It's one of the best Christmas movies ever. Dan Aykroyd, Eddie Murphy. We're trying to get Phil to come in and be Eddie Murphy, and I was going to be Dan Aykroyd, but it didn't work at all. No, Phil didn't answer. It's all good. He's like, I'm lame. I got white friends and stuff. I'm just funny. But after this, we're going to eat beans and chili. We're going to have a good old Mexican Christmas. You know what I mean?
Oh,
it's going to be fun, you guys. I can't wait.
That's been a pretty good Christmas so far.
Yeah, how about you?
I was at the party.
Did you?
A lot of fun.
I didn't go.
You didn't go.
I wasn't able to go. No.
Why not?
I just didn't get off in time, and I was broke.
He's dumb as a rock.
The fuck out there too.
And I work at the airport, so it's even further from there
to
get downtown. So.
It was a really good time. It's just a lot of dancing.
Heard nobody puked this time?
Nobody puked. Somebody did try to rob Megan.
What?
And Peischer. Yeah, they were in the back, like the bathroom, which is that hallway, and there's a door at the end, is their office. And I guess the guy, they walked in there and just had money. Just had money of theirs that wasn't his. In his hand. It was
it a comic or just some
random
guy?
No, just some random guy.
Like,
I think they were on Molly, because they were dancing real dumb. It was like a group of people that were dancing horribly.
See, even though I wouldn't steal from friends, you know what I mean? Only Target, Walmart. You know what I mean? Like, I lost my speaker, my little portable speaker. So I had to steal a little Bluetooth microphone, headphones, dog. You know what I mean? I gotta listen to gems.
Well, I'm out there.
Yeah, I will. Actually, I got some for sale. I'll sell you the ones I got $4.20 at Venmo at Big Lou. Yep. We'll talk. No, they're really good ones, man. Yeah, we could smoke whatever in here. We could do whatever.
This is a
smoking household, dude. My mom. Hell yeah, dude. Fuck yeah. I already said that on Jeff Stonick's podcast, huh? I was like, you know why kids are pussies nowadays? Because back in the late 80s, you couldn't smoke while you were pregnant anymore. And not
so
being able to smoke while you're pregnant, it turned all the kids into pussies, dude. You know what I mean? They're soft. They're fucking soft.
You're not even addicted to anything out the womb.
Yeah. How
fuck.
You
what a bunch.
Of,
yeah.
What
the fuck? Ciggies, crack, something. You know what I mean? Gotta be addicted to something good. Yeah.
What were you
addicted to? Just nicotine?
No, I don't know. Dude, between what his mom and his dad did,
shit, my dad did so many drugs, it's ridiculous, man.
He did so many drugs that got him high in the womb.
Come here, Bella.
I
stay off the court. Yep.
When did your parents stop becoming Jehovah's Witnesses?
My parents have never been Jehovah's Witness at all.
No way.
my grandparents are Jehovah's Witness. Okay. So my dad, like, my dad's in jail right now, and he wrote me a letter, and he's all, with Jehovah's help, I could be the father that I never was to you, son. And it's like, dude, you fucking said this last month when he got out of jail, dude. I was like, you can't play.
Every time he goes to jail.
Yeah, dude. Or shit, he got out of jail, what, a month and a half ago, and he comes over to the house. And, like, I didn't want to talk to him. Like, I had to leave him in there this last time because he's all, oh, get my check, son, and bail me out.
He's in jail?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, he's in jail. But he was in jail up. He was in jail up in Greeley, and he's all, "Yo, bro, go get my check and cash it for me, cause we got the same name, you know what I mean?" He's all, "Go get my check, cash it, and get me out of jail." And I'm like, "Fuck you, I can't, bro. I'm not gonna get you out of jail." Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, "I just can't, dude." And he's all, "It's not even using your money. I'm not like I'm asking your mom to bail me out." And I was like, my mom wouldn't bail you out anyway. They've been divorced forever.
Okay.
Since I was four.
Wait, so why were you raised Jehovah's Witness then if they weren't?
Because my grandparents. My dad lived with my grandparents back in the day. So that's like the
what
story.
Was the first time you celebrated, though?
What?
Anything?
Fuck, all the time.
Okay.
My mom's Christian. My mom, we go to Catholic fucking, we go to Our Lady of Guadalupe.
All right, well then you were J-Dub.
Yeah,
dude.
I'm J-Dub, dude. Fuck it. Every weekend. Every weekend.
I was
that's your fault. That's your
two
fault.
Two times a week. I went the Kingdom Hall twice.
Like, I didn't go to... I used to go with my grandma. I used to go with my grandma all the time. But
that's
then...
Bullshit.
You know what's funny? You know it's...
You're not even one.
I'm Jehovah all the way.
Only one of
I'm Jehovah all the way. What else gets me out of fucking jury duty? I'm Jehovah all the way.
How does that get you out of jury duty?
Jehovah's Witness ain't supposed to judge people.
Oh.
Is that for real?
Yeah.
You get out of jury duty?
Yep. I'm J-Dub all the way, dog. We're all J-Dubs. Hell yeah.
Gets me out of jury duty. I'm down.
Hell yeah. Nah, dude.
So you were raised Jehovah your whole life?
Yeah.
Obviously, up until you got out.
Me? Only on the weekends, all right? I'm
38. Half my life, I didn't celebrate shit. Not even your birthday, though. That's
yeah, you didn't do your birthday. Yeah.
Yeah.
That instills like a negative self-confidence in you. We're like, we don't give a fuck that you were born. Like, we're not gonna celebrate.
My grandma.
Yeah.
So my grandma for my birthday and for Christmas, like for Christmas right now, my grandma would be cooking at her sister's house, like, and all the rest of the family weren't Jehovah's Witness, just my grandma and grandpa. So like my grandma would go cook and do all this shit and then bring a plate back for my grandpa. But like, you know, when they were handing out presents and shit, my grandma would slide me a 20. Don't tell your grandpa. And then for my birthday, she'd slide me a 20. Don't tell your
and
grandpa. Yeah. just my grandma.
So we would do like a Thanksgiving like a few days after.
Oh yeah.
Shit was on sale.
Yeah.
Like
just a feast.
Yeah, yeah. We would do like a spring dinner around Easter. But yeah, my first Christmas, I was 15, all of it at 15. So I was a real J-Dub.
I'm fake.
Bible.
That sucks, dude.
You gotta go. You can get detention in your house to read the Bible.
Yeah.
It's like Bible detention.
It was not meant as a punishment, but it certainly felt like.
Yeah. God damn, I'm gonna go to read about God right now. So how is the Jehovah's Bible any different from like the King James or anything like that?
You kind of replaced the word God with
shush.
Jehovah. Yes.
He's
yes.
Only using his rolling papers. That's the only
reason.
No, he did go to Kingdom Hall. Sometimes.
Yeah, I go to Kingdom Hall. Like the.
That shit was so boring.
Yeah, it is. It's crazy. Like 2 hours, dude, for church,
draw.
Bro.
My mom would let me draw, and I would just draw the whole time.
Like I used to get in trouble, or Yeah, me and my dad were the bad Jehovah's Witnesses. We'd show up with, like, Bronco jerseys on.
And everyone else is all nice.
Yeah, everyone else is all in their suit. Like, my grandpa, everybody liked my grandpa because he would wear his bolo ties.
Oh, cool.
Like, so, you know, you always got to wear a tie and be looking real sharp, but my grandpa would always wear his little bolo ties with the little leather straps and shit. And they would accept that as a tie, you know what I mean? Because my grandpa's big. My grandpa looks like Ben Duncan.
Really?
Yeah, my grandpa's huge, like fucking Ben Duncan huge, bro. But my grandpa and his brother Butch, so they were big like that, but fucking old people are strong, bro. Because him and his brother both look like Ben Duncan, but each one of them, they used to work at the junkyard. And they'd unbolt a fucking V8 engine, and then they would fucking throw that shit out of the car, dude. Fucking both of them together and shit, dude. They'd grab a V8 engine, one on each side, and fucking pick it up out of a car, bro.
Christ.
That's how tough the old motherfuckers were, bro. And that was their job at the junkyard, bro. He said that they used to throw batteries one-handed like this into the back of the truck. Whole batteries, bro. You know what I mean? That's how tough old people are, bro. Fuck, dude.
I guess when you're smoking, when you're pregnant, that's what happens.
Yep, that's what happens. You get tough as fuck, bro. Look, my mom smoked. Look how tough I am, bro.
Yeah, dude. Fuck, dog.
I had a crazy year again. Yeah, I've been trying, bro.
Was that, like, on a picture in a billboard with that?
Fuck.
That exact
little muscle, little bodybuilder inside of him,
and
bro.
And he's like, my mom smoked. That's what the ad says. My mom smoked when she was
my mom
I'm
smoked.
Strong.
My mom smoked, you little bitch. You're fucking off top.
That's the billboard.
So, how we always ask the comedy thing. How long have you been doing comedy, Sarah?
It'll be 4 years in March.
Oh, yeah? I remember when I first started comedy, I got you upset one time.
You don't remember?
No, all right.
Upset, though,
so I had just started out. It was like the second or third time I was always working at night, and then I said I gotta start going to open mics more. So I showed up to Irish Rover. And it was the first time I seen, like, a lot of people, you know what I mean? Because I used to go once a week to Chorrito, is where I first started doing comedy. But I remember at Irish Rover, you did your, I wish they had pills to get big pussies and stuff, you know? And I love that joke. I was liking it. And I was like, I went, oh, hey, sweetie, you had a great set. And you're like, don't call me sweetie. And I was like, I don't know your name. She's all, well, don't call me sweetie. So I was like, I'm sorry, dude. And you're like, dude's better.
Dude is better.
And I was like, but I didn't know your name.
Like,
you know,
drunk.
Yeah, no, it was just you being. Nah, because I was like, that bitch wants me to be PC. Fuck that shit. I'll call whoever I want, sweetie. And then I was like, maybe I shouldn't call girls, sweetie. I
was
like,
man.
It had to be at least 2 years ago.
Oh, really?
Irish Rover hasn't been 2 years, has it?
Yeah.
I didn't know it
has.
Oh, yeah. Because
it had just started. It was just started. Yeah, man. That's like shit.
I can guarantee you then that I was definitely drunk.
No, because it was funny. I was like, man, that was a good joke, sweetie, about the big pussy. Don't call me sweetie. We're all outside. I'm like, oh, fuck. And then Phil goes like this. She's kind of like, you know, but I didn't want to offend nobody. That's like Phil and Brian were like the first people I met at Irish Rover, tall guy. Like we were smoking weed and I was like, hey, what's up, tall guy? And then he's like, my name's Corey. And I was like, I fucking hate that name. You're tall guy. You're tall guy from here on out.
It's
I don't give a fuck, dude.
Himself.
Fuck yeah.
Well, so what's funny though is like, I think like you get at like a certain point, and maybe not you guys, just kind of like new comics, like I don't even remember that. Like it might have seemed like I was upset, but clearly not that upset.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even remember.
No,
that
like after I said dude and we were clowning, and then like a few months after that, like seeing you at Josue's old mics at the garage and stuff, you know what I mean? I was like, I didn't want to upset you. That's how it goes, you know what I mean? Fuck, dude, I'm offensive like this old school movie we're watching. Dude, you can't change me, bro. I'm already been recorded like that, dog. You know what I mean? Sometimes
I have softened a lot because I feel like as a woman, like, you get so many assholes
yeah.
who come up to you who say whatever the fuck they think they can say to you. And
no,
over time, I feel like women get this guard on themselves. So they're like, I
yeah.
have to, you know, fucking put this guy in his place and be like this or that. But as I've gotten older and as I've been doing comedy more, like, definitely gotten better at picking and choosing my fights. Because
yeah.
people call me sweetie and sweetheart, and I don't freak out.
Now. Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, in reality, what is this person saying?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, they're not.
No, and like I told you, I don't know your name, dude.
Right,
that's
right.
exactly what I said, baby.
It's not like
hopefully I helped out.
Yeah. But also that joke, though, I've gotten so many weird people saying shit about my pussy.
Wait, about my pussy.
Well, just like being gaping or this or that.
Well, I did come up, remember the roast at Josue's,
the
hat joke? Now, I came up with that joke right after I heard that shit.
That was really funny.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But it is it's, you know, you play fun. I love this comedy thing. I don't care. I just posted on Facebook. I was like, D-Town comedy scene, you stole my heart, dude.
Yeah.
And really, it has, and I tell to say this all the time, I'm all in on this comedy. I don't want to work no more. I fucking had hard jobs. I've been a Mexican. I worked hard my whole fucking life. I'm over it. I'm fucking over it. If I could just talk shit and fucking make people laugh, fine.
Yeah.
That'd be
yeah.
great for what I want to do with the rest of my life, because
yeah.
I'm too old to have a real job anymore,
say,
dude. You know?
Just, for me, because I started at 26, which isn't
yeah.
super young, but I'm still trying to figure out who I am.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's so, comedy is the best thing I ever did in my life and
yeah.
best choice I've ever
yeah, no,
to
I,
for myself.
I,
but, like, you, for me, it was a lot of navigating and trying to figure out
yeah.
How to be in this world, because it's you're already judged enough as a human being, and now I'm going to get up on stage and let you judge me.
That's the whole point.
Right, and it is the whole point, but it's a different level of self-awareness that
yeah.
you start developing of
what you're capable of.
And you want to be funny, so you what am I doing that's right? What am I doing that's wrong?
Yeah.
And also just, the social construct of comedy, because I think,
look at all that cocaine they found on Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I think a lot of comics don't know where they stand at first.
Yeah.
And comics hate them, or, because of, an interaction like that, or,
right.
Well,
I definitely, there's a lot of people now that I interact with when I first got here, and they, I don't want to say they gave me the cold shoulder, but I realize what it is. Of that thing, and I've said this before, it is always that thing that I meet, especially running a mic,
mm-hmm.
I meet countless people
yeah.
to say they're comedians.
Right,
and I
right,
meet
right.
so many motherfuckers, and I've talked to so many motherfuckers, that I probably have had a 15-minute conversation with people, and if you come up to me the next week, I'm like, sorry, bro.
Yeah, and it's not a personal offense either, because
no.
I've had lots of comics kind of just be oh, well, you were shitty to me. Well, it's also, what do I owe you? I don't
yeah.
owe you.
Yeah, no, nobody
I
owes you nothing.
Yeah, dude, if I'm sorry if I was cold to you or whatever, but you're just, and I hate to say it, yes, we're all special, but no, you're just one of many fucking faces.
Yeah.
Especially now when everybody's doing comedy.
Well, and also the scene when I started was so much smaller. It's blown up.
It's blown up in the time I've been here, let alone.
Yeah.
Like,
so, and also what's funny is, when I'm not pet sitting, I'm crashing at Phil's place, and on his fridge, he has an open mic sign up from when he hosted, when he hosted for Josue at the Hostel Fish.
Oh.
And your guys' name were on that fucking list.
Yeah.
And I took pictures that night. I took pictures of all the comics. I don't even remember you guys' names.
No, that was...
I love you guys now so much, but it's just so funny because, you guys were new then, and it was a couple years ago. And,
yeah.
I just didn't know your faces. And...
I got a big cold shoulder from Bear Quattlebaum.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was at the goods, and we're all both, no, this is way back.
Okay.
This is back when Anthony Crawford actually ran the goods.
Yeah, that's when I first started.
So this was way back, and Bear was talking with Ralph Great, then those two were talking, and we were all smoking weed outside, and we were all smoking weed outside, and I kind of tried to hop in their conversation because we were all smoking weed, and Bear told me like this. He's all, "Hey, real comics are talking right now." Like the douchiest thing ever. It was fucking douchey as fuck. But you know what? Did I fucking say, "Yo, fuck you, motherfucker"? Yeah. Or like something that I would do personally, I would do that. Like, "Motherfucker, don't disrespect me, bitch. Yeah. You know, I didn't do that. I shut the fuck up. I took another hit of the joint and I walked away. Whoa. You know what? No, check this out. 3 weeks later, I went in there and I did my Gay Jose story. I did a dope part of my Gay Jose story, and Bear Quattlebaum came up to me and he goes like this. He's all, "That was good," and he shook my hand. And ever since after that day, you know, he gave me some of the best advice ever. He goes, "You're fucking dirty, be dirty." Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So yeah, ever since then, you know, I was dirty. I fucking went Dirt McGirt after that, dog. Yeah, earning his respect was big for me then. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it
there's a few people that, like, I've won their respect where, like, they, like, Jose McCall, like maybe 7-8 months in, I was at Mutiny just randomly one night, and I, like, did a set, and I got, like, a few laughs, and I got off, and he's like, "Your jokes are getting better, man." Like, and that was, like, the first time that, like, I felt, it wasn't that we hadn't talked before, but there, you can tell this, like, different cadence where the comics will be like, "All right, this guy's actually trying at this."
Yeah.
It's not that thing of like, and that's another thing is like, I know so many comics that I've known for a year now who I just see kind of do this as a hobby, mm-hmm. and it's not something
it's
they're like,
fine.
Hey. Yeah, and it's fine, but I interact with them. I just saw titties. I interact with them.
I saw titties.
Yeah. But I interact with them in a different way than I interact with like people who take it very seriously. Just like in that thing of I know that I can talk about the craft with you, as opposed to like these people that do it as a hobby. They kind of understand it, but it takes like going out every night.
Oh, are
you
gonna
like
read Mark Master's book?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Grab the book.
Maybe turn that light on.
No, it's fine. Or turn that other light up. Turn that light over. Or yeah, turn this. We'll try it out.
We'll continue talking.
So,
we'll continue talking. Find a partner that you want.
Okay. But so when I started, it was such a different scene. So I didn't start until March, right? But I had been hanging out around comics ever since the November before. So I was like I had made friends with comics because I didn't know anybody in Denver. I moved here with I was dating. We broke up, so I had no friends. So I ended up going to comedy shows for free. Because
right.
I was like, I had no money, I was broke, I lived in Cap Hill, and I was like, "Oh, there's this show above a vegan restaurant called Too Much Fun."
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so that's where I first started going to see comedy, and why I'm staying in town until the second is literally just to see Too Much Fun.
Oh, really?
They're doing it on New Year's Day. It's what got me into stand-up. If you guys
are
free, go to that fucking show. It's amazing.
Where's it at?
It's going to be at Rocksteady. It's with the Fine
Guys. Oh, okay.
All right.
It's like Nathan Lunch, Chris Carpentier.
Oh, all right.
Okay, that's always, that sounds like a good show. Yeah, I'll definitely check that. But so it was a very different scene.
Well, so I'd been hanging out for months, and what I'd noticed at like Mike's is that like it didn't matter the order. So I like kind of knew about this like culture or like, you know, unspoken rules about Mike's and comedy before I started. So it was frustrating, but like, you know, the first few months of comedy is you going up last at almost every
Oh, you got to deal with that shit.
Yeah.
You got to deal with it.
And now the new comics, though, they're just so pissy about
it.
It
don't
so
matter.
Entitled.
I don't give a fuck.
I don't give a fuck either.
I
don't give a fuck.
I feel like everybody blames the new comics for getting pissy. But I think that is always, like, we just, but we always, I feel that a lot of people frame themselves in, like, "Oh, I wasn't like that." But I feel like a lot of us were. I heard you fucking.
I know I did.
What? Like, there was definitely, like, and maybe it was different for you. I came to this town. It was weird for me because I came to this town after doing it for 4 years in a small town.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, running my own shows and shit like that. Few of them, but still, I ran my own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I got here and that stuff, like, I knew that stuff was going to occur because I've listened to enough fucking podcasts to understand that that's just a thing. And it still was that stuff of like certain times you just retired from work and you're just like fucking like fuck this, fuck that.
I'll leave, dude.
No, so there's a difference between being frustrated and pissed off and taking it out on the host. I've never
yeah,
taken
you can't
it
talk
the
shit
host.
To the host.
I've never been like, when am I going up? Yeah. I've asked if I could go up early with people I trust.
Oh, I've
did
it with
situations if I'm like, hey, you know, like whatever people are willing to help you if like you know them, but you have to build that relationship first.
You can't just
I'll do it for fun.
Like, well, and also last night, so I was guest hosting Irish Rover, and already like walking through the door, people were like, who's going up first? And it's like, I just fucking got here.
Yeah.
And then like, and like, I was like, joking around like Wes and stuff, and it was like, yeah, or I've been, you know, people will say I've been here since like, I got signed up first or whatever, and it's like, yeah, these people have been here 6 years. Like I'm like, I don't know, like it just when like you knew, like that's how it was. It's like you knew that, even though it was frustrating, even though you got frustrated going. I would wait to go to a 1:30 at Lion's Lair to nobody.
Yeah.
That's so frustrating.
I've done it. I've done
I
it
never
too.
Took
I did it
on
too.
Roger, never
I did it.
And Sam when he
that was
to
that's
no,
the
hey.
I never did here, and that's exactly
hey, so
yeah.
So I used to go up at and I tell this story all the time, and it's dope that she hooked me up this at the very last Black Buzzard, Janae. I used to go up last there all the fucking time when I started. Like, because Tuesday and Thursday were my two comedy days when I first started out. And I would be the last. Oh, it's 420. Go for it. It's 420. It's 420, you guys.
I knew that. That's why I picked it up.
Okay, so no. So Janae, I'd go up last. It'd only be me, Janae, Christy Buckley, and Phil Corridor in the crowd. And Phil Corridor's there because I'm giving his ass a ride home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But check this out. The very last Black Buzzard, Janae put me up third. She's all, I seen you killing it over there at Comedy Works. I seen you killing it at Thick Skin. She's all, you want to go third? I was like, hell yeah. I got that set recorded.
Well, and it makes those
and
moments.
It makes all those moments, all those times you went
yeah.
last,
yep.
It makes
exactly.
it worth it, dude.
Exactly.
It totally
and,
makes
well,
it fucking worth
also
it.
Also, those like rare moments when you started and you went up last and you still had like one. Even if yeah. it was just comics you didn't know,
oh,
and you
no.
made them laugh, you're
hell
like, oh,
yeah.
there's my victory.
No, I would make fucking, I'd try to just to make Janae, like one time I went last and you know how Janae got her little playlist for when
yeah.
she masturbates, you know, I was like, oh, Janae, can I do my little playlist for before I masturbate? And she's like, yeah, do it. And I made her laugh, and that was perfect. I don't care
yeah.
that I went last.
No.
It was me doing my jerk-off playlist for Janae. That was great, dude. And
I remember,
yo.
Like, one of my favorite first, like, one of those laughs is, like, after going to El Torito's for, like, 3 months, I finally got Allison Rose to, like, laugh. And actually laugh. Like, she actually laughed, and I was like...
For me, it was always Three Kings. Like Too Much Fun is what got me into comedy, and like, I definitely look up to all those guys so much. And like, it always felt like a pleasure
yeah.
to get to perform in front mm-hmm. of like Lund, and he has such a great laugh too. So like, making him laugh, you know, and also, you know, the comics that laugh at everybody, you know, and when you get a comic that doesn't laugh at everybody
mm-hmm.
to laugh at you too, like
yeah.
that also.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like the past year has been the most transformative for comedy for me because, for one, I feel like it's the first time I'm getting respect from my peers at like mics or shows.
Right.
And then also, I'm just able to see where problems are in my set. Now it just comes along so much easier. Everything comes along so much easier now that it's been, you know,
right.
3 years of hard work of just doing mics all the fucking
just
time.
Just going.
You know,
yeah,
and like I don't feel. I think it is really important for new comics to be out all the time.
Oh, you
all
have
the,
to.
You know, like,
no, I noticed that right when I got fired from Lyft. And I said, what do I want to do? Because I couldn't get my job back at Lyft. I said, what am I going to do? I started hitting open mics
yeah.
every fucking night. That's
you're
like, that's like
my
homeboy. My homeboy just messaged me on Facebook. He's like, oh, man, I watched your YouTube video, you at Comedy Works. He's all, how do you do that? And I was like, dude, you got to write. He's all, how do you get started?
Part of it.
I was like, go to open mics. I was like, go to open mics. Just go, keep going to open mics as many as you can. I was like, get a notebook, write in that motherfucker every day.
Right. If you want to start writing.
That's
every
like,
time I see Lewis at Comedy Works, he looks like a Mexicans for Trump spokesperson.
That's because I got to look sharp in a tie, bro.
A lot of Mexicans for Trump in New Mexico.
I'm down. No, I seen that shit. I watched it. I watched this Trump rally.
Too. You don't even understand.
It's weird.
Farmington, I was from Farmington and Aztec.
Wait, that's where you're from? I know where it is because I've been there long enough.
Yeah.
Everybody shits on Farmington.
Oh, everybody does.
All the open.
Hell yeah.
It's the Grand Junction of fucking New Mexico.
Okay,
it's not. It's the fucking
cheap. You did tell me that you were from Farmington, but like it just was. It didn't
register.
You're
like, oh, it's just a town.
Right.
Yeah,
it didn't register, but now that I've been out at Mike's, it's like, this one comic, Josh Fournier, he's super fucking funny in Albuquerque. Josh Fournier, he's a native. I think he's Navajo, but he's from Farmington.
Oh.
And it's a
punchline.
It's a punchline, but he just says he's from Farmington, and people just start laughing. Like, it's just like, it's so
it's like you're saying you're from Greeley.
Yeah.
Farmington's the Greeley of New Mexico.
Laura gets that too, if you're talking city proper.
But, if you're talking city proper, but the why I say it's a Grand Junction of Albuquerque, because it's like 4 hours away.
Yeah,
like, you have to go through you have to go by Roswell and pass that to even get there. It's the opposite way of Santa Fe. But it is, like, it's just the shittiest place
ever. When did you move to Rifle?
I never actually lived in Rifle. That's just for the bit. But I lived in Grand Junction. And the reason I lived there is because when my parents... I was raised until, like, 7 in Price, Utah. And then my parents got divorced. And then my mom moved to Grand Junction. And my dad ended up getting a job in Delta, which is, like, 30 minutes from Grand Junction. And then after that, he got, like a year after that, he got a job in Farmington. And from there, we moved to Farmington. I lived from there. And then I would go back and forth to go see my mom in Grand Junction. And then when I turned 20, my dad found a broken weed pipe in my room. And I was living with him for like 2 years. And he,
out of my house.
Dude, that's what it was. It
Get
was
out
like,
of
dude,
my house.
He didn't even find a full pipe. He found broken pieces of a pipe. And he's like, this is enough evidence. Fuck it out. And,
I can put the
my mom
together.
Didn't even kick me out. She found meth on me last month. It
wasn't even yours.
It wasn't even mine. She wakes me up. She's like, what is this? I was like, it's fucking meth. She's like, you're all high on meth. And I was like, obviously I don't do meth because I'm asleep, mom. You know what I mean?
Why did you have the meth?
It was somebody else. Somebody fucking else's.
She's so open-minded.
I don't know.
But no.
I told that to fucking to Noe Noel and TJ Webb on Thursday, cause I went to Rocksteady and I was like, yo, I gotta go. They're like, where are you going? I was like, I gotta go sell meth, dog. I was like, fuck, I'm broke, dog. I gotta go make a little bit of money. Then I already did an open mic that night, dude. You know what I mean? I did, what's
the
Sammy
same way
and
about
Gabby?
Watching dogs.
Yeah,
you gotta go let this dog out.
Yeah, gotta go let this dog out.
Sorry.
Fuck, dude. Fuck. Man. That's how it goes.
How you dog sit?
I do. So, I like.
Is that like an app?
It's
On Rover or what?
I've gotten clients through a few ways, like through Rover, through WAG, through friends, through Facebook, through, another dog walking company that I started doing, like when they had too many people, that's how I started. As they would give me like their overflow, which was like on the holidays, and it was like an extra $250 for just having a dog stay in my house.
Yeah, that's
so I'm like, people are, it's kind of fucking annoying because there's a few people that are like trolling me in life right now. They're like, I thought you moved, and it's like, I did. You know, I did. Stop asking me over and over again, and then it's just like, but yeah, I'm making like all my rent. I haven't had to work this month really.
Just from dog sitting?
Mm-hmm.
I
first 2 weeks I wasn't really doing much in December, and then because I knew I was coming up here, to make enough for my rent and stuff.
Right,
so and it's not like I'm making like a shitload much more than that. Like I'm not rolling in money,
but
I'll say I make just enough.
I'm getting by, and like I'm hanging out with pups. It's fucking dope.
That sounds fucking perfect.
Yeah.
All I do is this survey app, this ShiftSmart, and I feed the vampires with my plasma. That's all I do.
That sounds like too much responsibility.
Nah, dude, it's easy. it's so easy I can do it on the fucking light rail. Yeah, actually, I got busted the other day for using the same paragraph on two things. All right.
I literally have no idea what you're talking about, but
all right.
You can explain to me. So how does this Mark Masters knows you read this?
Who cares?
I'm asking.
Okay.
I'm asking.
All right. We're getting ready. For another reading.
Wait,
from King Daddy himself. Just you're gonna have to go at random.
But I'm asking a question.
Yeah, fuck. Mark Masters knows everything. He's the master of the universe.
How does he feel about you?
Who
leaving?
Gives a fuck?
I'm not saying.
has he listened to them?
I don't
is
know.
Laughing?
You want me to call him and ask him if we
yes.
can read out of
no,
his book?
I'm not asking for his permission.
I'll call him right now.
Understanding me. I just am curious if he's like.
He's gotta love it.
If you're doing that, or if he's like, ha ha, that's great.
He should love it. We're gonna ask him right now.
Call his ass up. Okay,
this is the
open mic experience. This sounds relevant.
Oh, that sounds perfect. No, it's funny because when I listen to Michael Jeffries read it, he somehow turned it into a Stephen King novel the way he narrates this thing.
Because he talks like this.
Yeah.
He's not answering you guys.
Oh, well.
Hi, this is Mark. Leave a message.
Uh-oh, he's on the internet.
Hey, Mark. This is Luis Jesse Ricardo Martinez. We're going to keep reading from your book on the podcast, whether you like it or not, okay? Bye-bye.
Okay,
all right.
So I just read one?
Just read
yeah, read, read, read whatever.
Okay.
Open mic experience.
If you want to see a good slice of America, go to an open mic comedy night. Arrange for a designated driver, though. You'll probably want to drink to make it through to the end. I have been to about 100 open mics, and I have seen some stuff and met some people that I won't soon forget. I love the open mic scene. They are my people. Weirdos, outcasts, and rebels. Silly, smart, surprisingly smart people. That sounds like an insult. Talented, dedicated people, and drunks, and the almost homeless, and the wealthy bucket listers. That phrase confused me for a while. It confuses me too. It means someone crossing off an item on their bucket list. People who lost bets, and people trying out a New Year's resolution. Oh, I don't like this. I hate this. I'm so sorry, Mark Masters. I don't think you're on the internet, right?
He's on Facebook, so that's it.
Let's see. Should we skip to Worst Night Ever or One Man's Dream?
Let's go to One Man's Dream.
Okay, One Man's Dream.
One Man's Dream.
I remember another time at Syntax Physics Opera, which usually has about 40 people in attendance when it starts, almost all comedians, and dwindles to under 10 people by the time I usually get to go on stage. But one time there were over 50 people when I went up. 50 people.
50 people?
What? The comedian before me was offensive and not very funny. He's talking about you! And I'm just kidding.
He's in that book,
by the way. And the crowd just went flat. The host came out and said, give it up for name. And nobody clapped. She said, I don't know what just happened, but your next comedian is, and brought me on stage to silence. This was close to the largest audience I had ever performed for, and did it great with well-practiced material. I have a video of it I'm very proud of. When the host came back on stage. Yeah, where's the link, dude? Link me, bro. So I can get this experience. When the host came back on stage, there was a loud applause for me. She said, perhaps with some surprise in her voice, that was great. It was a terrific feeling to perform in front of so many people and make them laugh. God, we're all just seeking validation so hard.
Oh, God, dude. Everybody.
We want to get so hard off your validation. comedy is like golf in that the small victories make all the less than stellar times more than worth it. That's true.
You have to admit, most of these people are going to be buying this are in an airport and they can actually afford an overpriced book. I mean, look at that face. You wouldn't buy that
unless... Listen, okay. I like that he uses the ComedyWorks font.
No, there's. I like Mark Masters. I think he is.
I think that is the comedy works in the background. No, it's not.
No, it's not. But I like him a lot. I think he's a really nice guy. I think that this is a book that's never been made for a reason. I mean, I'm not trying to be like shitty, but it's just like, is it interesting? Like, is comedy interesting like this?
My spot in the book is very, very interesting. No matter what she said, buy this book. Mark Masters. Not good yet. It's fucking awesome. If you want to know what not to do in comedy, buy this book.
I think it's like so awesome. Like I don't
know. No, I like Mark Masters. He's a good guy, bro.
I also don't have the drive to like write a book, but it's also just like
I can't read, therefore I can't write a book.
I feel like if it was like 70s, I don't know. Is it that?
Well, I think this is the one thing it is, because I bet there are more books out there like this that we just don't know about, and it's just always there's so much information out there that you're not gonna get all of it. But if you happen to like come across this book, and it's a first, like what? When are you gonna get the perspective? And this is gonna sound weird, but like when are you gonna get the perspective of a 40-year-old open micer?
No, like well, that, so I feel like. Even just like
I'm only a 18-year-old open micer.
Like I just read what 2-3 pages. That's like a memoir.
No, yeah,
that's not about an open mic, because that's not what everyone experiences, and like you know.
But that's what he experienced.
Right, that's
so
what
like,
I'm saying.
It
it's like a memoir.
It's a memoir, but it can get you like the same thing of like I imagine. I don't know. Did you listen to podcasts before? You got like kind of what the experience of doing stand up was, and I feel like that's maybe what this is. I haven't read the fucking book, so I don't know. But
you haven't read it?
No,
how
of course
you guys
not.
Get this? How'd you guys get this?
I've been selling it. I sell it.
Mark Masters was on
the
podcast.
Look, I'm in it. That's me, right there at the end.
That's why you love this book. Validation.
Yeah, exactly. Everything
that's a picture of me at the Black Buzzard, dude. I want to.
No one watches
like, okay,
podcast.
So so here's a memoir, and the cool thing about it is it's like untainted by anything else. It's just his first raw experience, right?
Yeah.
But like the book I would want to read of the first 6 months of a comedian is like I read Sarah Silverman's book, but it's like about a comic who like makes it.
But one thing different about this, and that's interesting. But when he was writing this, it's a fresh memory. It's not this thing of like, hey, I'm gonna write about when I first started comedy 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like that's
your
memory
is
very
time, huh?
skewed for that amount of time
yeah.
when you're like going back.
Right,
and it's still a good
right.
thing to write about, and I want to read that stuff.
Right.
I, to be honest, I'd much rather read Sarah Silverman's book than this.
Well,
but at the same time, these memories are very fresh. He probably wrote them as they were happening, because I believe
right.
he had this idea when he started. And so,
I think I'm pretty sure it's like the first year.
$4.20.
That one, since it's all busted up.
I would buy one of this and read it and actually give it a. But, I mean, yeah, when I heard that a new comedian wrote a book about stand-up comedy, yeah, I laughed.
Yeah,
I laughed really hard, and it's not because of Mark Masters or like his
just
intention.
Yes.
His intention is just like it just seems silly.
Well, Mark's not really part of the crowd neither. Like
we're in a silly game though. Like
we're
the whole point of our existence is being.
That's why I used to sell his book out of my backpack. I had like 5 of them.
Yeah.
And that's the last one. That's the last one, dude.
Only comics buy, or were there like civilians?
Shit. Yeah, I sold one to a civilian. I sold one to a guy that was just starting out comedy.
Oh, okay.
I sold one at my open mic over there when I had Grambo's hats out, when I was selling the hats for Grambo for when his mom was dying.
Somewhere down the line, this book is going to make it into the hands of like a suicidal first year comic.
They're going to blame Mark Masters for his death.
Just so they don't sound like a complete cunt. What my criticism is like, why would I want to read this book?
Look at that face.
Because he's white. Because he's white, for one.
You know, like that's
right.
why I brought that up.
Well, okay, think about it. Okay.
But that makes sense that like a new comedian bought it.
Yeah.
You know, that makes sense to me.
Or I mean, if you're randomly perusing and like, you're a first-year comic and you go to the comic section and you see this thing of, like, not good yet, it sounds like a self-help book.
Yeah, and this is probably...
Hey, did you hear Brian's story about trying to find books on Reddit for comedy?
No.
And he was on a Reddit profile. And then, what did they say, Brian? Just quit being a fucking pussy and go to open mic.
Yeah, that's,
don't fucking read a fucking book, you fucking piece of shit.
They set it up like a book. Have you ever read? Go to the fucking mic.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
I guess that's also why I feel that sentiment is like.
Yeah, that's why you feel that way. I know.
He's exploiting his situation. He's
yeah.
You know what I'm also wondering? If this
just
is his
do a fucking mic.
Is this his first
Yeah, person? Probably. Unless he's some fucking genius ass white guy that fucking just said, "Oh, I'm gonna do comedy on a whim." You know what I mean?
Lady Gaga.
Guys, if anybody wants to break into Batman's computer, you have
Lady
to actually
Gaga.
Listen to this podcast. I'm more than 45.
I thought it was Lady Gaga.
Password, so. We'll just skip to it. 45. What are we at? 45:03.
Whatever. Who gives
a
fuck?
I don't know how long your.
We're good. We go for as long as we want.
Mostly an hour, but you know.
We're just gonna eat. We're just gonna eat a little bit of beans and chili after this, so we're good. You know what I mean?
Thank you for the hand signals, Brian. If not,
thanks for the hand job later.
You're gonna make him 4:30 seconds gay.
That's how you do
it. And you're canceled.
If you want me to do that, he's gonna have to pop it out.
No, it's funny when I talk about like when we were first starting, because I didn't really start talking to you, I don't think, for reals until I had to go after Zach Welch at Jose's gross party, because we kind of talked and stuff like that, but then after that night, you're like, you saved me.
So, do we want to talk about that story?
Yeah, fuck it. That was one of the best nights of all comedy, dude.
So, that was...
You didn't even... Hey, and to start... You didn't say nothing offensive to that asshole.
No,
I said way worse to his boyfriend. I said that he was sticking his dick through
his
boyfriend's ear.
I want to preface this story with Zach and I are good.
All right.
It was a silly beef that's been squashed. It wasn't really even a beef. And it's just what happens sometimes when people have emotions and we get drunk.
You didn't say nothing.
It was a roast. It roast for Jose.
Yeah.
Everybody had great jokes, and I just got thrown on last minute. I didn't know we were actually roasting. I thought it was a joke. So I didn't. I wrote like one or two jokes, just like being silly to like open my set.
Right.
And then I just realized, oh, we're roasting, so I'm just gonna do my stupid stuff. And my bit was that I'm bad at roasting. That was like my bit. Was like,
yeah.
I'm bad at roasting. And Emily, Emily Kronk was there, and I was like, Emily looks like a beautiful elfish Liv Tyler or something like that. I was like, see, that's me roasting. And I just called her beautiful.
Yeah, and then you went, and you're like, it's nice to be among friends besides Zach.
I was like, Zach's here and he's an asshole. Like, that's all I said. And
yeah,
like,
there was like, you had a pause and you got a laugh off of it. That was the other thing. And then
he got so mad and started saying I was hack, and which is true. And I was trying to be.
I thought he said you were heck, and I was like, duh, that's her last name.
But no, yeah, he went off on you. And
then I didn't even like react, because I was honestly like not meaning to be a dick, but like laughing a little.
Right.
Because like it was just so ridiculous. I was just like, dude, what the fuck?
Yeah, this
like,
is just what
like,
the heck?
Like this is comedy. Like,
and he made it awkward. That's the thing. Like, my side of it was like I was just sitting there. And, like, me and Zach have always, like, had this weird beef. I don't know where it comes from, but...
It's because you don't say you're gay, bro. You say you're bisexual.
If that's the real reason...
If you're going to be...
Oh, my God.
If you're going to be bi, just be gay.
How about that? Yeah, just be gay already.
Just be gay.
See, I'm only part gay because I give Bella a little bed and I cover her up. That makes me part gay.
Me and him have always had this, like, beef. And, like, to be honest... This is going to sound really fucked up, but in my head, I like, before that moment, I had written roast jokes about Zach Welch. Just in my head, just passing by, like, fuck that guy. I've got, like, this, and I just, you know how comics are. When you just get annoyed, you just write jokes about it.
Yeah, so he makes this huge scene in front of everybody, and it's a small garage. We're all packed in, and he's and he and like yeah, it's like not the appropriate response to me calling him an asshole. Yeah, he's calling me
at
like
a roast show.
Yeah, and he's calling me all these names and like saying I'm not a part of this, so that I was the bad guy. And he was part of it. And then you just went up after and you defended me and you had amazing slams against him. I don't even remember what they were. They were so fucking funny and so true about him being an asshole.
Yeah.
And everybody was busting laughing, that's when he started crying.
Yeah.
And it got really bad.
Well, because what it was is that, like, because once you, I don't care if you're a comic, I don't care who you are, once you're a heckler at my show, you're a heckler at my show, and I'm going to treat you that way. And so I went up. And a week before that, this is going to sound like I'm being rude because I'm bringing this story up, but he did really bad at a drunk history like a week before.
Oh, yeah.
And Josue told me about it. And so I went up and I said, damn, I haven't seen Zach Lush kill a crowd like that since last drunk history.
Yeah, yeah.
And fucking everybody dies. And then he goes after me like he went after you.
Yeah.
But I was ready because I had those jokes.
It was like more like drunken emotional yelling,
like,
and you had like really fucking solid.
Mitch made this thing for me on my birthday. He turned Zach Welch into a vampire and put fuck you, Corey. So good.
Oh yeah, and then later in the night I had to like leave, and then I came back, he just walks up to me. He's like, fuck you! Go fuck yourself!
Yeah, outside, dude. Outside. I was pissed. I was pissed. I was like, yo, dude, get the fuck out of here. You don't fucking play that shit, dude.
Yeah, so after
and
that,
what was fucked up is you had left, and I fucking told... I was started roasting. I fucking told Josue. I was like, yo, I've been gay more times on accident than you have on purpose. And then I was like, what do you do with your boyfriend's ears? Do you put your weenie through there and then you try to bite it and shit, you know? I was really talking shit to everybody, but fuck, man, that shit was fucking funny, dude.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. Hey,
so
you got to have...
Well, so
you
it
just
was...
caught him?
It was a Sunday night and your mic just ended.
Yeah.
So I couldn't go to your mic over here.
Yeah.
And so I was prepping on my New Faces competition, and I needed stage time, and I hit up Roger Hack, and was like, yo, it's Sunday, like, you know, I would like to get stage time with Zach, because even after that fight, I knew, like, whatever was going on with Zach wasn't about me.
Right.
Like, it wasn't about me calling him an asshole, something, you know, and when you're drunk, too, you know, like, you're not thinking straight, you know, and whatever.
Yeah, especially when you're free booze drunk.
And you're emotional and whatever.
Yeah.
And to me, seeing him cry did not make me feel happy.
No.
And I felt really horrible just because, like, you could just see how sad he was.
Yeah.
And so I hit Roger up and told him, like, yeah, we had this problem, but I have no problem with him. Like, I think he's, you know, got a good heart and means well.
Right.
In life in general, you know, and he's obviously, he knows it. He's a sassy bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is a sassy bitch, dude.
He will tell you off. He doesn't care who you are. And I like that about Zach.
Well, speaking about going last, tandem,
oh, yeah.
I went last every time. And you know what's super fucked up is, I forget what it was. It was like, I was just starting out. I was hanging out with Phil. And we were there, and we were going last. I was getting used to going last no matter what. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was going up later, and it was Pride Month. And he goes, is there any straight guys that got jokes about Pride Month? And I actually had the Three Bears from when I drove Lyft. I drove around Three Bears. And I was like, this is... And I had a story about Louis the Lyft driver and the Three Bears. You know what I mean? And I actually raised my hand. And that night, he goes like this, you're last.
That sounds right.
And I'm not even joking. Every week that I showed up, that's kind of why I started my mic on Sundays. Because I was tired of going fucking last there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, but every week, 11 weeks in a row, I went last. Did I care? No.
Right.
Because, hey, I got to get my stage time no matter what.
Yeah.
If he got offended of me raising my hand that time, it's fine. It's his mic. He can do whatever he wants at his mic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's
like,
like other people trying to tell you, oh, you got to tell that motherfucker to leave that mic. You don't do that. You don't ever ask somebody else to fucking leave a mic if you don't fucking run that bitch. You don't ever do that. You respect whoever's running that mic.
There's certain situations where there's people.
No, dude. Somebody fucking told fucking Derek Walton that if this person's not gone, they're going to get their mic taken. You don't ever say that to somebody that runs a mic. You don't ever. That's way too far, bro. You fucking got to respect the motherfucker no matter what. If they're running the mic, they're doing a service for everybody. Yeah, it's like running a show, dude. I mean, look at us. We're all getting kind of booked here and there. I mean, look. We're making it, dude. Me and Tall Guy did it in my homeboy's basement last year for New Year's Eve.
Yeah, New Year's Eve, one of the best shows I did when I first started here was in a basement at his friend's house.
Yeah, dude, that was last year. Brian was fucking on it. Yeah. Me, Brian, and Tall Guy, we did a basement last year for New Year's.
All of us murdered.
Yeah, it was great. It was dope.
So, just to finish that real quick, though, I sent that message to Roger.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And he screenshotted that exact message and sent it to Zach. Zach was like, I don't care if she comes by. He put me up pretty late that night, but I was assuming that would happen.
Right.
I wasn't last, but it was pretty late. And then after, because it was so late, there was only a couple of us there, and we had a moment outside and smoking, and I was just like, and I was drinking at the time, so I did like a shot or whatever for them, and I was just like, it's like water under the bridge, dude. If you're cool, I'm cool, because like, I don't need that in my life. And I don't care, like, what, you know, like, not like I don't care what's going on, but just like, you know, like, I would rather this not be like this. But like, if you feel so hurt that it has to be whatever, you know.
Brian, rag in the third drawer of Weta tell.
Even though I have a beef with him, I can still, like, interact with him, say what's up, all that stuff. Like, it's not.
I talk to him all the time, man.
Stuff that goes on in this scene is that you still have to act professional.
Yeah.
And, like, I see that less and less sometimes, like, lately, like, where there's been a lot of beef and people are trying to, like, people are just, like, going back and forth with fucking, just, like, talking shit about each other. I don't
know. So last year at the Comedy Awards, I got third from the biggest gossip. Which did not make me feel good, so I'm actually kind of out of the loop with gossip, which is
good.
Unless it's like a big thing that happens, like with, you know, the shit with Lisa and that piece of shit.
They tried to pull me into that shit.
That was so funny. That was stupid, dude. Yeah, you were so funny because you were just like playing Candy Crush or some shit on your phone.
Yeah.
You're just like, fuck this piece of shit. He's like right behind me.
Yeah.
It's so fucking funny.
Fuck that guy,
really,
dude.
That was really intense. And like, he was like getting in another comic's face, and I went and got you because I was not drinking, and drinking Sarah would have been. Got in the middle of them and been like, fuck it, you know, and just been like, get out, you know.
Yeah, nah, dude, everybody.
Like, I don't know what's going on, but this guy is being a piece of shit to this other
guy. And that dude's a fucking fake-ass chump. Like, he started at my open mic. Mm-hmm. So that's why he tried to pull me into that. What do you think of this? Fuck you, homeboy. You don't fucking pull me into this fucking crazy beef. I want to, that's like, we were talking about this. Everybody thinks I'm some fucking sort of asshole, druggy or something. I'm a fucking nice guy. If you're cool with me, I'll fucking ride with you to the end. I'm going to feed everybody after this. I don't give a fuck, dog. If you're down with me, you're not going to go hungry. You're going to be high. And if you need a cigarette, you're going to get a fucking cigarette, dog. You know what I mean? Amen. Fuck that shit, dude. Everybody, I mean, Merry fuck, Christmas. Dog. Fuck all this dumb shit. Nobody should beef. But if you do beef, at least fucking have the respect to fucking know that, you know, some people, you might not like them. You might be on a show with them in 2 years. You might have to fucking do a showcase with this motherfucker in 6 months, dog. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is beefing with somebody really worth it? It's probably not, dude.
In relation to that is, like, people constantly, like, think I'm like some PC monster, which is so funny because like you are offensive at times.
Yeah.
But I love you so much because I know you have a heart of gold. I know that your intentions are good.
Yeah, I hope. I hope so.
And like, I don't care if you're, you know, making Malibu.
With sugar.
I don't care if you're making Malibu with sugar. You're not saying
Jew.
No, I'm just
kidding. No, that was funny. You know, being the evil Jehovah's Witness, bro. That shit was funny, bro.
Yeah, that
shit's
really funny.
You know what I mean?
But like, like that night, like, somebody was saying to me, like, oh, we should get this guy out of here. And, like, I did want him not to be there, but, like, you didn't give him stage time that night, and, like, that's your call to make. But, like,
well,
I
didn't even ask for it. That was nowhere.
I don't
that
even
was,
believe.
Was
I don't believe in censorship because I believe in because I want to see who you are. And what
hell yeah. Doing. That's like Alex Jones should be on YouTube
hey.
Still.
Hey,
Mom. Hey, Merry Christmas.
Merry
We're back.
Christmas.
My mom just showed up for the super holiday. Fucking extravaganza.
Your mom's funnier than you.
Hey,
she did stand up on the lawn here.
Yeah, that was the best.
Not yet. We didn't eat yet. We're going to eat after. We're almost done probably.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's Christmas.
Yeah, no, dude. That's like, I would never beef. Like, I mean, I want to beef with some motherfuckers, but the same thing. Like, that guy, you know, I just told the little Aspie, you probably shouldn't hang out with that dude. He's bad news. You know what I mean? A lot of motherfuckers. And then little Aspie pissed me off, too. And I'll tell this. Yeah, I talked to him.
He takes breaks, too.
Yeah.
Like, you know why he wasn't around earlier this year?
No.
He's a fucking psych ward.
Really?
Well, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah, and no, dude, and you know what, dude? Fucking, when he got out, I seen him at Streets of London. And he was doing a set, and dude, his hand was visibly shaking while he was doing the set. And then I was like, you did good, bro. And he's like, this is the only thing I like is comedy. And I was like, well, then stick with it, dude. Stick with it. And you know what? 2 weeks after that, his hand wasn't shaking. 3 weeks after that was when our mic started, and I gave him a platform to do his little hip-hop shit, dude. He's banging on. We're banging on the things for him, and he's spitting out a minute flow. 2 minute flows. I mean, he was happy, dude. And then look, I'll tell you the truth. You know why I quit hanging out with little Aspie? Because I didn't want him to get into drugs.
Yeah.
He's so impressionable.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
want
That's
him hanging out
with
me,
dude.
Hanging
out with that guy. That
you know what I mean? He's so impressionable
Anybody
that I wouldn't want to be his downfall, bro.
That's
what that guy was giving. Dude, when he
That's
was,
what I've noticed is like he wants friends, and this guy's his friend.
Yeah, he's
well,
and he's a good.
Because when he first started coming to King is before all the stuff happened, I'd let him go up because I was like, whatever, yeah, free speech, so I want to see
him. He means well.
But, like, he would praise Noah. He's like, Noah's going to be the next big thing and all that stuff. And Noah heard that, and he just was like, oh, somebody finally recognizing who I am. It's like, it's my fucking 2 Chainz moment. This is like, I always knew I was good. Now this guy shows it to me. And so he just latched onto him, and he would not. He did it to a blind state. And I can see it from Noah's point of view because, like, yeah, he is, like, mentally ill. Like, he has... I recognize him immediately because, like, I was raised... My stepmom worked with autistic kids. And there's been people in the scene that have been like, I don't know if he actually is autistic. I'm like, dude, Noah is autistic as fuck.
Yeah, nah, man. That's like... I had him over to the crib. Like, fuck, dude. 20 minutes in, it's like you're tripping acid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
No, I'm serious. I had to pretend like I was sleeping on the couch.
I had to,
just to get a minute away. I was like, hey, Noah, I got a power nap for 10 minutes before we leave to this open mic, all right? And I fucking just
sit
there
like...
Yeah,
you're gonna play the quiet
game? Yeah. But I love Noah,
that's
dude. Noah's a good guy, bro. Like, fuck, man.
Yeah, Noah always makes me laugh.
No, and it sucks because, like, you know, like, again, like, you're trying to find your place in this world and, like, you're going up late and you don't feel great and... You know, hopefully, you know your jokes aren't as good as they could be, or what you need to fix, or you know, something that's not.
And Noah's good. Noah's like, I've seen greatness out of Noah. The saddest thing is, he don't remember it.
Ever.
Is he drinking?
No, it's just fucking like.
Him.
It's just him. Like fucking like and that's what I told him. He's like. Like, when I first say it, was telling him, yeah, I'm pitching a show for Crazy Mountain Brewing, kind of like Ratio, you know? And, oh, can you get me in as an opener? And I told him straight up, I said, yo, dude, when I see you got 5 minutes of A material that you could go up there and just do this 5 minutes and it kills, I was like, I'll put you on as an opener.
You got it?
For sure.
Comedy is about... Like,
but he can't remember his shit. I never heard him do the same thing once. Like, and I can say the same thing for me. Like, I try not to do the same thing even like even if I'm working on something.
Yeah.
But I got bits. I know that's gonna work. I got bits. Like I'll try to work a bit into this other bit to make a full 5 minutes or.
Comics are seeking validation, and you're seeking it so quickly, so fast on. Like it does, I think, fuck with your mind a little bit at times.
Hell yeah.
And like, and I don't know, like you have to work hard because you do need that validation, even though like it's kind of shallow. You need that validation so you can. I mean, just because you want to be better, hopefully.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the validation means that you're getting better, like, because you're getting booked more, and you're getting steam, and, you know.
And I feel that stand-up more than almost anything else that I've ever, like, seen art-wise, or, like, even when I was, like, really big into skating back in the day, like, stand-up is the biggest meritocracy I've ever been a part of. It is all about you being good. No one's gonna put you on a show if you suck. No matter like, and there's once you get to a certain level where like fucking the situation gets a fucking booked at clubs and stuff like that because he's on a fucking reality show.
Yeah.
That stuff gets a little ridiculous. But when it comes to the local scenes, that's like almost pure meritocracy.
Oh, I'm fucking pissed at Brandon Shaw being a comedian. That guy's just fucking Joe Rogan's friend, bro. Fuck you, Brandon Shaw. Fuck Brandon Shaw.
I don't know you, but
fuck
you.
Brandon Shaw
Nelson,
being.
You, Jeff Nelson, and fucking Rambo all hate that guy. That guy spent 15 years beating ass in the UFC. He deserves to have a little bit of a fucking leeway.
Hey, just because you're Joe Rogan's friend doesn't make you fucking funny.
But he is kind all right. Funny.
No, he's not. No, he's not,
he's
dude.
Definitely.
I watched his This Is Not Happening. Fucking Gay Jose story is funnier than that fucking guy's story, all right? Fucking Gay Black Dope Dealer would fucking murder that guy's story just fucking by the title alone.
So, one thing I will fucking say about Denver as I'm, like, getting into New Mexico now is, like, Denver is, like, the best fucking scene. I don't know. It's got to be. It's got to be.
I'm super happy I chose this.
Yeah, like, comics can get so good so fast here if, like, you... Because, like, these guys, it's a young scene, and there's a lot of good comics out there, but the younger comics aren't getting to get as good as fast, as fast as you can up here.
Because there's not as many mics out there.
There's not as many opportunities. There's 5 nights a week where there's mics. I don't know all of them yet, but you can go out every night, except Fridays and Saturdays. But there's shows that people go and support.
Right.
And I've gotten thrown on to shows a lot by doing that.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's always the way to do it. It's just to show up to the show and like, do that kind of
thing. Nothing else is going on, so like a lot of the comics come out.
Yeah, exactly. So like that. Yeah, and that's good. But this scene has, I think it's, because is there an actual comedy club in Albuquerque? There's nothing like, yeah. So
no,
it's not
but
like
my roommate does, the casinos.
Oh, okay.
Mark Norman was just there with, fucking, what's his name from, stand-ups. What's his name?
Oh, fuck.
Anyways, like comics come through and they go through the casino, like that's where Nikki Glaser was, like when she
That's my homeboy.
But one, the casino is fucking like an hour drive outside of the city.
No, they're in the city.
No, they're in the city now.
I'm thinking of the one outside that's like really big.
He does Star Anise or something.
Oh yeah.
She knows.
My mom knows. My mom knows all the casinos.
But it's like 20 minutes away.
Oh, okay, so it's not
so
that
it's
bad.
It's not bad. It's like.
But it's not like the comedy works where it's like every single night there's a really good comic to go watch.
And what's interesting is they had an opportunity for a club to come, and the guy who was going to open the club started hitting up female comics and was being a piece of shit creep, offering stage time, sexual favors, things like
that. You went that far that quickly.
I think from what
they didn't even have a comedy club yet. They're like, hey, give me some pussy, we'll get a comedy club over here. I'm going. I talked to that one chick, Kat, too. She said, she's cool, dude. She's super cool.
I don't think Batman would really want to go to, what's the park out there? There's a theme park in Albuquerque.
It's nothing.
It's so bad. No,
it's like two stories.
Hey, we should take Batman out there just to piss him off, dude. Just to
park besides Elitch's?
Hey, Elitch's is really awesome, bro. Don't you ever talk shit about Elitch's, motherfucker.
They don't really have a big roller coaster, do they?
They have one. But it's like
I grew up in a town that had a bigger or like had more roller coasters.
See, I grew up by Lagoon, which is in Salt Lake City. That's where I was growing up on, which has a few good coasters. It has one of those bungee cord things, so that's like really cool, but nothing like what you're talking about.
Yeah, there was a boomer that would go forwards and backwards, and then they had a really cool old school wooden one.
Yeah.
The steaming demon.
We have the Screamy Mimi. The log ride? No, the Screamy Mimi. We went on the Screamy Mimi at Waterworld.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, the one with the plastic thing. You go over the water. Waterworld's dope, bro. We all went to Waterworld, huh? Me and Tall Guy and Bama. And then I put the sunscreen on, and they had that like silver sunscreen. You know how
purple. Purple.
I look like the Bulk, the Incredible Bulk.
Should we
eat Christmas food? Shit, I think we're
an hour.
Are we good?
I bet we're passing out. Yeah, we're.
Sarah. Thanks for rolling through. Hey man, the comedy game. If we offended anybody.